Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It is Monday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy this show. This story was first published on April 17th of 2016 under the headline Oregon Trail Medicine, or How to Not Die of Dysentery. Here we go. Readers old enough to remember the Rex Morgan MD comic strip, which actually is still in production, although not nearly as widespread as it once was, will have a good sense of the glory years of medicine in Oregon, and across the country, too. For the past 75 years or so, doctors have enjoyed probably the most prestigious position in American society. But of course, 75 years is not all that long a time. You don't have to go too much farther back to find a very different kind of medical profession, one shot through from end to end with sadistic vivisectionists and skulking grave robbers and incompetent dabblers, ruthless dogmatists, delusional amateurs, and, of course, plenty of predatory swindlers. It's hard for modern people to believe, but in the mid-1800s, medical practice had more in common with religion than science. Microbes were completely unheard of, and no one knew why people got sick, so everything from too much blood to the vengeance of an angry god got blamed for things like cholera and malaria. And as is the case with religious instruction, followers of particular sects could get pretty fierce with one another. Of course, the Native Americans had their own healing traditions, many of which are now lost. But back when the United States was founded, European medicine was still mired in the imagineerings of Galen, a Roman physician from the 2nd century AD who claimed that a balance of humors, blood, phlegm, black bile, and yellow bile, was the key to wellness, and that all sickness stemmed from an imbalance in these four simple things. To cure disease, one had simply to restore that balance by various combinations of bleeding and purging. By the time the Lewis and Clark expedition showed up in Oregon back in 1805, European medicine had barely moved from this position. The main innovation had been a sort of mania for heroic applications of the bleedings and purgings, heroic in scare quotes there, forcing already sick people to endure the loss of pints of blood and spend hours straining and retching over chamber pots and outhouses. Naturally, this sort of abuse killed plenty of people who otherwise would have survived. Everyday people had started to notice this, and the respectability of mainstream medicine was probably at its lowest ebb. And that was the kind of medicine that was being practiced by the members of the Lewis and Clark expedition on the way to Oregon. Prominent in the Voyager's first aid kit were hundreds of beefy white tablets of mercury chloride, marketed as Dr. Rush's bilious pills, a concoction of American founding father Dr. Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. The pills were designed to restore a patient's bile balance by inducing, quote-unquote, heroic purging, but mostly what they got used for was the suppression of syphilis symptoms and, as an emergency laxative, the men called them thunderclappers. But of course, the lore of medical men like Dr. Rush was supposed to be good for more than just temporary relief of constipation. By Lewis and Clark's time, the effective moral bankruptcy of mainstream medicine was common knowledge and was leading to fresh approaches such as homeopathy, the like-cures-like concept, and hydropathy, the hot-and-cold, quote-unquote, water cure, and to the witch's brew formulations of herbalist Samuel Thompson. And it was those schemes that most characterized the state of the medical arts in early Oregon, especially Thompson's ideas, which borrowed heavily from Native American traditions. By the 1840s, when emigrants started coming out to Oregon on wagon trains, most regular people had little use for mainstream medicine and looked to Thompson's folk remedies to get them through tough times. The lucky participants in Saul Tetherow's wagon train back in 1845 got better medical treatment than most when they were sick, despite wagon master Tetherow's lack of medical credentials. What he did have, though, was a little book of remedies courtesy of a Thompsonian practitioner named Dr. William Daines. Everyone who's ever played the Oregon Trail educational video game, that is, everyone who attended public school in Oregon in the last 30 years or so, knows what happened in the game when little Sally got dysentery. Despite copious administrations of Epsom salts, the inevitable, "You have died of dysentery," could never be too many turns away. But if little Sally had been on Tethro's wagon train, she would have been promptly offered something called an ague and liver costive. Quote, "Dry beef gall to thick molasses, thickening it with may apple, equal colocynth and bloodroot, 1/4 of the above," Dr. Danes instructs. "Roll it out with flour into pills. Dose 2 teaspoons at bedtime as often as the case needs." If that didn't work, there was a more aggressive recipe that was probably the emigrant's go-to formula for dealing with malaria. Quote, "Dry beef gall to thick molasses consistency. Thicken it with equal parts may apple, bloodroot, cayenne pepper, culverroot, 1/4 part lobelia seed. Mix, roll into pills with flour, common serve doses 2 to 6 a day as the case requires." Would this have cured little Sally's dysentery? Probably not, but it sure would have beaten bleeding her to restore her bile balance or soaking her feet in Epsom salts. Here's what was offered to any wagon train participant who grew desperate enough to ask for help with a cough or sore throat. Quote, "Cough syrup. Boil the licorice root to thick molasses. Take 1 fluid ounce balm Gilead buds, 1 gill vinegar, 1 gill strong syrup of skunk cabbage root, 1/2 fluid ounce tincture libellia. Take a teaspoonful or so as often as the case requires to keep the phlegm loose, to raise easy." Spelling and grammar was not part of Dr. Dane's medical education. This wasn't uncommon on the American frontier in the mid-1800s. Many medical practitioners were in fact self-taught, especially the Thompsonians, who considered themselves to be populist heal-thyself types, in contrast with the paternalistic submit-to-my-orders tradition of mainstream medicine. Possibly the most intriguing recipe in Dane's book is something he calls Mother's Relief, which is an elaborate concoction of extracts, including those of partridge berry vine, unicorn root, blue cohusk, spikenard, bayberry bark, birth root, raspberry leaves, witch hazel leaves, and lady slippers, given to women to ease the labor of childbirth. Reading the ingredients list, one has to wonder if it might have actually had any therapeutic value. Nonetheless, some frontier mothers seem to have had little need for anything of the kind. Here's Mary Richardson Walker's diary entry for the particularly eventful day of March 16, 1842. Quote, "Rose about 5, had early breakfast, got my housework done about 9, baked 6 loaves of bread, made a kettle of mush, and have now set a suet pudding and beef boiling. My girl has ironed, and I have managed to put my clothes away and set my house in order. May the merciful be with me through the unexpected scene. 9 o'clock p.m. was delivered of another son." Key sources in this story have included works by O. Larcel and Eric Bromberg. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. It's called The Old Man's Waltz. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode, email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.